win in this league, right? Especially in the division, right? But to go on the road and get the first one, right? Hell of a job. Defense, 6 sacks.
Yeah!
Hey, offensively, we didn't give up one.
Yeah.
We won the game, we scored 31, we held them to 20, right, and we won the turnover battle, right? Hey, enjoy it, right? Because like I said, it's hard to win, but we got to get our minds ready for Baltimore tomorrow, right? We got to get our minds ready for going to Baltimore, right, and go get the victory in Baltimore. But hell of a team win, right? Great job, guys, great job.
You're listening to the Colts Blue Zone Podcast with Mike Chappell and Dave Griffiths.
Hello and welcome to the Colts Blue Zone Podcast. I'm Matt Adams, no Dave Griffiths or Mike Chappell today as I look back at the Colts' 31-20 win over the Houston Texans on the road at NRG Stadium. At the top of the show there, before the open, you heard from Colts coach Shane Steichen about his first NFL win as a head coach. And it's just kind of striking because when we hear Steichen talk to the media, he is this very level, measured, almost unreadable kind of guy that when he presents himself. But there you can tell, you know, his emotions getting to him as he gets that first big win and an AFC South victory that puts the Colts in position to be tied atop of the division. But it's not really important here for week two. But what is important is the Colts did something that they have not done in the past few seasons, and that is get off to a quick start. They were out of the gate on this one, and it was just an absolutely beautiful opening drive that we saw. Great play calls, great ball deliveries by Anthony Richardson, mixing in some runs there, and then he capped it off with a touchdown run on a really nice play design where they had Michael Pittman getting a block, and you had Granson out there also getting a block for Richardson to just get there into the end zone. So, you know, before you knew it, the Colts were up 7-0 and facing this Houston team that, let's be honest, this is not a great team by any stretch of the imagination. It's going to be a rough year in Houston, but I do think that they have some pieces for a pretty bright future there for the AFC South rival team. But, you know, the Colts got off to that fast start. They scored on that opening drive, 75 yards. Richardson was really good on it. You know, he completed, I think, 5 of 6 passes in there and just, you know, got him off to a great start, was in rhythm, found a bunch of different receivers on that drive. 5 of 6, 50 yards. He had completions to Pittman, Granson, he hit Josh Downs, Mo Alie-Cox, also Isaiah McKenzie on that drive, and then capped things off with an 18-yard run. But really, to me, what the difference in the whole game was, that opening drive compounded by something the defense did right after that. And when Houston had the ball, you know, on third down, the Colts got to the quarterback, which is something that they have had a lot of trouble doing. And that's been our biggest concern about this team this season, is their ability to get to the quarterback in timely moments. And so on a third down, Samson Ekuban got to C.J. Stroud. He stripped him. Kwity Paye recovered that fumble. And so we just instantly had a game change, a change of field position right off the bat. So you had that great offensive drive that was just about 5 minutes or so, and then the defense comes in, gets a big takeaway, and the Colts are able to capitalize on that. Now, originally they called Stroud down, I believe, but it got reviewed. The Colts challenged it, they reviewed it, and it was clear that Stroud had lost the ball. He'd been stripped by Ekuban, and then Kwity Paye. You know, the good thing is, you know, the Colts played through to the whistle, as they have been doing all season, and were able to get the ball. And there was a clear recovery of that, so that meant that the Colts were able to keep the ball. So, you know, right after that, they didn't really waste much time. Richardson, on another run, got 15 yards into the end zone for another touchdown. So after the extra point, boom, just like that, it's 14-0 Colts. Now, in the moment, you know, it all seemed great. Richardson hopped up, took a little bit of a hit as he was, you know, going toward the end zone there, and then, you know, kind of got rolled over a little bit, and then his head bounced up against the turf and really didn't think much about it right away. But then when you think back to that play, you realize that something happened there. You know, he got hit a little bit in the back, kind of in his neck with the defender, and then, you know, he fell over and hit his head on the turf. And so Richardson stayed in for a couple more drives. But then he self-reported to the medical staff that he was not feeling well. There was just something not right after that. So he went to the medical tent for the, you know, for that exam on the sideline to just kind of see how things were going. And he did not pass that. There were some warning flags there. So it went to the next part of the concussion protocol, which means that he had to go into the locker room for another evaluation. And that evaluation apparently did not go well either. So, you know, they took his helmet away from him and he was done for the day. So, you know, in comes like early in the second quarter, then you've got Gardner Minshew out there quarterbacking. And, you know, Minshew is just one of those guys you need to have on the team. And especially, you know, a lot of question marks about Anthony Richardson and, you know, will he struggle? And I tell you what, that first drive, I mean, I know it's scripted and they've practiced it and they kind of know what they want to do on that drive, but still Richardson looked great on that opening drive to get that first score for them. But the reason that you have a guy like Gardner Minshew is if your rookie does struggle or if he gets hurt, you have someone with a steadying hand for the wheel. And that's exactly what, you know, what they got from Minshew. He led the team on a pair of touchdown drives, including one right before halftime, and that got them a pretty decent lead. They didn't do as much in the second half. I'll talk about that a little bit later here. Didn't do a whole lot in the second half as far as the offense is concerned, but I do think they were playing that, you know, a little conservatively there because they knew that they had a decent lead. And they knew they were kind of against a team that Houston was overmatched a bit, and they felt like their defense could hold. So I think that's why that was the case. So you've got Minshew in there. He's throwing, just being super efficient on offense. You're getting good defensive play there, especially kind of in the second and third quarters. And then a big key here for me. I mean, we harped on it both in my recap of last week's game, and then also when Dave and Mike joined me on, you know, our Thursday show about the lack of a running game and how that really hurt the Colts last week. Because if you don't have that threat, then, you know, we don't feel like your RPOs and your read option stuff is quite as effective if you can't run the ball. Just also regardless of the fact that when you're in a third and short situation or a fourth and short situation, you just can't seem to get the yardage that you need. And that was a real problem last week against Jacksonville. And you feel like if they could have converted a couple of those fourth downs or some third and shorts that, you know, maybe things go a little bit differently there. And it still wasn't like a blowout or anything like that, but the game definitely turned, as I discussed with this key sequence last week in the fourth quarter. This week, though, they got Zach Moss back. And while I don't think anybody is ever going to confuse Zach Moss with Jonathan Taylor, you know, he was really, really good for them. Showed some toughness in running. He had some burst from the line of scrimmage that was missing from last week's running backs. And, you know, it was just a stark difference from what we saw the week before, where they didn't seem to be able to manage anything with their running backs. They couldn't get anything going on the ground. And it wasn't like Zach Moss went 60 yards for a touchdown or, you know, anything like that. But he was effective when they needed him to be effective. And that's really all the Colts can ask for, is a running back that can show a little bit of wiggle when they need to and can show some power and pick up that tough yardage. And they definitely got that from Zach Moss during the game yesterday. 18 carries for 88 yards. Mike Chappell pointed out on Twitter, that's a pretty good number for Colts fans. 18 for 88 for, you know, Manning to Harrison. And averaged about 4.9 yards per carry. So almost 5 yards a carry for Moss. And that was a huge difference, I think, in the game overall. Could have probably gone for 100 yards. It would have been nice to kind of see that, but, you know, we'll take what we can get. And they got effective running, and, you know, early in the game, you know, maybe 2 or 3 yards or whatever, but he was able to get some decent gains out of some of those little things. Again, not the home run hitter that you've got on the physically unable to perform list, but really a good thing to see there. Just from week to week, you don't want to get too high, you don't want to get too low. We had a lot of negatives last week with some of the things that happened with the team, and it wasn't all sunshine, roses, and puppies this week, but it was a lot better for the Colts as a whole. Now, last week we heard from head coach Shane Steichen in his post-game news conference, and that was about 5 minutes or so. We'll hear from him this week again, but it's not nearly as long. Here's the coach.
All right, shoot. Just overall, good. You know, good first win for us. I thought defense played hard, offense played hard, special teams was good. It was just good to get that first victory.
You know, Anthony's in the concussion protocol. Obviously.
Yeah.
Just from your perspective, what was that like to kind of managed through that, and what's just the concern level?
Yeah, no, it was obviously went out in concussion protocol, but Gardner stepped in. Obviously a veteran guy, knows the system, operates at a high level. Obviously had two good drives there when he came in there and scored. You know, 4 for 4 in the red zone with touchdowns was really good to see. I think it happened on the second touchdown, and then he self-reported it. So, yeah. I don't know exactly when, but yeah, but I think it happened and he self-reported it. Yeah. Yep. It was great. It was great to get back, you know, Zach back out there running hard. He was physical. He saw the holes well, you know, made some tight, you know, tough runs inside to get a few extra yards, but it was really good to have him back.
You know, obviously you know Gardner very well, so what just was it like, the comfort level to have him step into that moment, and how did you, I guess, what do you change when he steps in there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the game plan is the game plan. There are certain things that we don't do with Gardner that we do with Anthony. But as far as the pass game and him operating, I thought he was efficient. You know, I think he had over 100 quarterback rating. He was very efficient throwing it and just operated at a high level.
What does it tell you about the work that he puts in during the
season? Yeah, no question. Just a great player, great veteran guy. He works. Obviously, he prepares like he's being the starter, but also does a heck of a job of helping Anthony throughout the week. So for him to go in there and do what he did was pretty good to see.
Is it concerning at all that second week in a row that ARs have to leave the game due to injury?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you think about those things. I mean, those things are like, I don't know, a fluke thing on that one. You know, hopefully it doesn't continue to happen.
Did you see the play? Like, what was starting to happen on that play?
But yeah.
That second touchdown, it looked like he kind of slowed up and the guy hit him. Did he see him at all? Or like?
I don't know that. I don't have an answer for that one. I don't. It was good, but a lot of credit goes to the players. I mean, the players put the work in throughout the week, the preparation part of it, and prepare the right way, and those guys go out there and make plays and make it happen.
Have you talked to Anthony at all, just in general, just kind of, obviously he doesn't really like, second game. Right?
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to really talk to him. I said hi to him when I went in the locker room, and that was it.
Do you address that with the team after the game? I'm sure some of them are just kind of concerned about where he's at.
I didn't say anything to the team about it yet, no.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. That was head coach Shane Steichen with his post-game comments after the Colts beat the Houston Texans 31-20 there in Houston. A couple keynotes there. Richardson left with a concussion. They do believe it was when he hit his head on the turf after that second touchdown run. Center Ryan Kelly left in the second half with a concussion. So they had to have, I believe it was Wesley French who subbed in for Kelly in that particular case. You know, to me, the biggest concern is, well, first of all, I should say both players now have a 5-step process that they'll need to go through in order to get back on the field. It involves, like, you know, some aerobic drills and non-contact stuff and checking their baselines to make sure that they're good. And then they're allowed to do non-contact stuff. And then they're allowed to do contact stuff. It's a 5-step process. So, Richardson and Kelly will both have to go through that to see what their availability is for Sunday's game. Now, it's different, and it's not exactly an apples-to-apples comparison here, but I was kind of thinking about Drew Ogletree. He got injured in the game against the Jaguars, and we did not think, we being Dave and Mike and myself, did not think there was any way that Ogletree would clear the concussion protocol in less than a week in order to be ready for the game against the Texans. But as it turned out, he was fine. He was able to clear the, as far as the protocol is concerned, he was able to clear that concussion protocol, and he was available for Sunday's game. But if they wanted him to play, but they made him a healthy scratch for Sunday. So in less than a week, Drew Ogletree, after getting a concussion, was able to play. Now, on the other hand, you had Shaq Leonard earlier this summer. It's different because it's preseason. There's not that urgency to play and to get in the game and that sort of thing. But Shaq Leonard suffered a concussion like on August 16th in the joint practices against the Chicago Bears, but he did not clear the concussion protocol for nearly 3 weeks. Now, that did allow him to play in the opener. So it kind of depends on the player and it depends on the injury as far as to how fast these guys can come back. And I know with Richardson being a rookie and having taken a couple of hits so far earlier in the season, that is not necessarily something that you want to rush him back to. Now, are they a better team with him out there? They're certainly a more dynamic team, you know, when he's on, but we would like to see him finish a game. I mean, I was talking to some of my coworkers today, and we're all in on Anthony Richardson. We think that first drive was really impressive, and we would have liked to have seen what he could have done in four quarters against the Texans. And all this experience for him being a young guy is very valuable, and there's a little bit of that. We wanted to see C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson kind of throwing darts back and forth and to see those guys go head-to-head and try to, you know, one-up each other and all that, and we didn't get to see that. But, you know, we also want to see him be able to finish games. And so for the second consecutive week, although this time he missed, you know, three quarters of the game, as opposed to just kind of going out at the end of the game last week. But we've had Anthony Richardson now be unable to finish games 2 weeks in a row for the Colts. And, you know, a lot of that comes down to understanding the game's a little bit different here than, you know, getting hit by a guy from LSU who, well, they're basically pro players anymore, but you know, getting hit by a college guy and being able to outrun college guys is a lot different from being able to do that in the pros. You just can't do that as easily. And the hits are always going to be bigger. The guys are bigger. They're faster. And Richardson's still got to learn that a little bit. And I think, you know, it was a little unfortunate what happened, kind of the way he got hit and the way he went down. You know, if he dives headfirst in the end zone, he probably doesn't get concussed and he probably is able to finish the game. And but that's just kind of the concern. They want to make sure that he protects himself. And, you know, I saw some strides because there was a play earlier in the game, one of his runs, where he did take off. And, you know, he was going to try to maybe see if he could get some extra yardage. And it just wasn't there. And he stepped out of bounds. So he didn't take the big hit. Whereas, you know, last week it was kind of like truck over the defender if he had to. And there are going to be situations where it's late in the game, the game's on the line, it's a fourth down play or whatever, and you know, maybe those types of things are called for because you're a competitor and you want to get those moments and you want to convert those plays for your team. But when you're talking early in a game on a scramble or something like that, it's not, you know, there's no reason to put your body on the line unnecessarily. So I did see him kind of go out of bounds on one of his runs, and I was perfectly fine with that. And so I hope those are the types of things that he is able to do from here on out. But as I mentioned, it's a good thing the Colts signed Gardner Minshew, because even though he does not have the running game that Richardson does, he does not have the raw athleticism that Richardson does, few people on the planet do, he can do a whole lot of things with this offense, and he is just a really, really good, I don't want to call him a game manager, but he knows how to make that offense run. He knows where he wants to go with the football. He's decisive, and he's got a good release, and he's able to quickly make decisions. And so, you know, he was kind of the low-key steadying point for the Colts. Not, you know, maybe even the low-key star, if you will, because he was able to lead them on a couple of touchdown drives that really helped put that game out of reach for the Colts. So he's the backup, but he was the guy that they needed on Sunday to step up against the Texans. Let's hear from Gardner Minshew.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
You're ready, right?
For real.
How well equipped are you for these situations, do you feel like? Because they are tough situations.
Man, I feel super comfortable in Shane's offense, you know, so I feel like preparing all week, feel really ready to go there. Got a ton of reps this offseason with our ones, you know, with that starting offensive line, with those receivers. So they all made it really easy for me to come in today and for us to go win. Yeah, not really. The trainers kind of came and told me and like told me what the situation was. They were checking him out. There's a possibility. So that was kind of all that was really sad.
What have you learned over the course of your career about what it takes during a week to stay ready, even if you're not actually the starter?
Yeah, no, it's tough because you don't get any reps. Like, you get zero reps through the week. So you just got to take mental reps when you can, study when you can, know the film. And just, you know, go in and play ball.
I don't know if you've ever been in that situation that Anthony was in where maybe you feel something that's not obvious to others, but like, does that require maturity, I guess, for a player to step up and say, hey, I may not be right?
Yeah, I mean, as competitive as everybody is, like, everybody wants to be in there, everybody wants to help their team win. Like, that's, I mean, I'd say almost 100% of the time, you know. So it is hard, but I think, you know, he made the right decision, and is doing all the right things.
Like in a time like this,
win the game, obviously he's going to be happy about that. But personally, he's like, man, like second game, I have to finish it.
Yeah, no. I mean, I told him at halftime, like, I'm going to hold it down for you. You know what I'm saying? Everybody follows him. He's the leader of this team. I was happy to be able to fill in and help when I could. But I'm going to continue to support him and help him as much as I can.
He's
fired up about the touchdown drives we went in, you know, and did. So, I mean, generally good spirits, you know. Yeah.
How nice was it to be able to hand it off to Zach Moss?
It was great, man. It was great. You know, kind of struggled running the ball last week. I think the offensive line took that personal. They had a great game, zero sacks, ran the ball well. And then Zach going in and just running as hard as he does really helps. Thank you.
What is that balance like when you have to calculate, okay, I want to get this touchdown, get this first down, get these yards, but I know somebody's probably going to come in and hit me?
Yeah, you know, you try not to get hit as a quarterback. You know, ideally, don't want that to happen too much. You know, but, you know, you run when you have to. You try to go through your reads and play each play independently. So, I mean, there's a balance there. I think Anthony's learning, you know, how much to go, how much to not. But, yeah, it's just playing the game.
You just like to hear that. He's just a team guy all the way through. He knows that, you know, ultimately this is Anthony Richardson's team, but he is preparing himself like a starter because he knows there may be those occasions like happened on Sunday where Richardson gets, you know, banged up or maybe he's just having a bad game or whatever and they need to get him out of there. And you know that Minshew is going to be prepared. He's so professional and so good at that. Now, on the defensive side of things, you know, the Colts hit C.J. Stroud 9 times. They finished with 6 sacks. And, you know, they did give up a couple of third and longs, especially in the fourth quarter, and some big plays. You know, the secondary is something that's still kind of a work in progress, I think. I think the secondary felt like it played a little bit better last week. This week, it felt like we saw guys running behind receivers a lot and kind of not being able to stay with them a little bit. And that said, though, some of their sacks were very impactful, and I think that's where they missed it last year, was when they did have sacks, it didn't feel like it was in a big game situation, and they had some sacks this week that meant some things. One forced a fumble, the one from Ekuban, and that allowed the Colts to get another quick score on the board and kind of put the Texans back on their heels. Another sack made the Texans settle for a field goal, which they subsequently missed, and that was a key point in the game. And then the last one came at the very end of the game, courtesy of DeForest Buckner, who was chasing after C.J. Stroud, who, you know, the clock's going down. There's, you know, basically one throw left in the game. He's trying to make a play. And, you know, that's where Stroud probably shows a little bit of his youth as well, because he's out of the pocket there. I don't think there's any body really that's open there. And I know he's trying to make a play. It's still a two-score game at that point. And I know what he's trying to do, but I feel like, I guess, if you're throwing the ball away, then, you know, it's a turnover on downs and the clock's over and the game's over. But a sack accomplishes the same thing, plus you also take another hit when you've already taken several shots. Now, one caveat about that with the Colts and their sack total is that the team was facing this Texans squad that was missing, you know, Laremy Tunsil as their starter. And they were missing a couple other pieces on that offensive line that is kind of a patchwork unit anyway. They knew it was going to be a concern. And, you know, to me, to parallel this to the Colts, I feel like they've done a little bit better with their offensive line. Seems to, you know, so far we've seen some pretty good things from it, whereas it was a mess for Houston. And they really had a hard time, you know, stopping the Colts. But that said, you don't know what that really means for the Colts, because they are playing a unit that was down some guys and was not playing at the best of its ability, or not able to play as well as it could, because they just don't have the personnel there. So, you know, if the Colts go up against a really good offensive line, are those key sacks going to be there? Are they going to be able to make those plays in the moment? And that's where the proof will be in the pudding for this defense. But still, you can't argue with that. 6 sacks, a lot of pressures. They were all over C.J. Stroud. Also, the ground game for the Texans, you know, again, they've not done it. There's some parallels with the Colts here with this sort of young team. The Texans managed just 52 yards on 26 rushes, just the 2 yards per carry, didn't get much out of their running backs. And the Colts were pretty stout. They gave up, you know, maybe a decent round or two, but, you know, nothing certainly that would alarm you. So they were pretty stout up there. The Colts didn't do a whole lot in the second half. They had their touchdowns. They did the primary bit of their scoring in the first half where they scored the 4 touchdowns. They did get a field goal in the second half. So their 4 drives led to 3 punts and a field goal. You know, I don't think they took a lot of chances by design. I know that they would have liked to chewed up a little more clock. They would have loved to have done that. And, you know, but I also feel like they knew they had a lead. And they did get that 1 score, and the defense was playing pretty well. Still, wouldn't have minded seeing another touchdown. You know, they had things got at the end just had the potential to get a little too close, especially if the Texans had converted on that field goal, but they didn't. And you know, so it kept them at arm's length. And you know, I still wish they could have run out the clock a little bit more, chewed up a little bit more of that clock. Still, some things to clean up. You know, they had 8 penalties for 42 yards. They had some key penalties and some key situations, some holds, that sort of thing. But a couple offsides. There was a weird false start that they called on Quentin Nelson, where I'm pretty sure the Texans guy was in the neutral zone. But, you know, those things are going to happen from time to time. But really, the big positive here, 0 turnovers and 0 sacks allowed. Now, if you can say that, you're going to score 31 points. You're going to get 6 sacks. You're not going to have any turnovers on your side, and you're not going to give up any sacks. I think you'd call that a pretty successful game. And I thought the Colts played, you know, very, very well. And we'll see how they do next week. They've got a Baltimore team that is got a dynamic quarterback, not too dissimilar from what the Colts have in, you know, Lamar Jackson. So we'll have to see a higher quality opponent next week. You know, Jacksonville's considered to be a higher quality opponent in the AFC South. Even though they didn't have a great game against the Chiefs, but the Chiefs are also a pretty highly regarded team. And so we'll have to see if this Texans game is kind of an aberration as, you know, just sort of kicking on the doorstop of the AFC South or your fellow doorstop of the AFC South, or if this is kind of a dominant performance that they're able to build off of. So we've got a lot of questions about that. What will the running game look like next week? What will the running game look like in a couple of weeks? Will Jonathan Taylor come back? I don't know. I'm not going to have that discussion. I'm not going to really talk about that. But, you know, we just don't know what we're going to see from this unit. We don't even know if their starting quarterback is going to be able to play next week. So we'll be keeping an eye on that with the concussion protocol. During his Monday news conference, you know, Steichen didn't really have much of an update on Richardson and where things sat on the protocol. So we'll be keeping a close eye on practice, see if he's out there, and see if he clears the protocol or if they decide to, you know, roll with Minshew for another week and protect their young guy, which certainly wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Now, I did want to mention C.J. Stroud and the Texans, the opponent. Stroud was the number 2 overall pick. Richardson was the number 4 overall pick. And Stroud had a pretty nice day, 30 of 47 for 384 yards, first couple of touchdowns, including the – so this was his first career 300-yard game and his first 2 passing touchdowns. He got those against the Colts at home in front of the home crowd. Really made some nice throws. He does have he considers himself, if I recall correctly, during the scouting combines, a ball placement specialist. He is very prideful, very proud of his accuracy, and I think he bore that out several times in this particular game. And the wide receivers really had a field day, I felt like. Nico Collins, 7 receptions, 146 yards, touchdown. Robert Woods, 6 catches for 74 yards. And then Tank Dell, another young guy, 7 catches for 72 yards and a touchdown. And when I say another young guy, I mean that in relation to Nico Collins and not Robert Woods, who is definitely not a spring chicken anymore. But so Dell had the 7 catches, 72 yards and a touchdown. So, you know, I was talking to one of my coworkers is from the Houston area originally. And he, you know, so he's a Texans fan. And he's a little discouraged, especially after the first drive the Colts have, and then they got the fumble and immediately converted that into a touchdown. But, you know, I think for the Texans, while they have a long way to go and they've got to shore up that offensive line, I think they have a little bit more in the playmaking positions than we necessarily thought that they had going into this game. Just to kind of recap, the Colts sit at 1-1 on the season as far as the AFC South goes. They are sitting atop the division, but it doesn't really mean much because it is week two, and it's so early in the season. We just don't know what we're getting from this team, and we don't know what we're getting from the other teams in the conference. You know, it's still fun because it's so early, you just don't know necessarily what to expect. And it is a three-way tie at the top of the AFC South, by the way, because while the Jaguars beat the Colts, they lost this week to the Chiefs. Then Tennessee, who started out with a loss for the season, also was able to get on the winning side of things this week. And then Houston, unfortunately, down there at 0-2. So right now they have things going their way. Again, next game is Baltimore Ravens versus the Indianapolis Colts. That'll be on the road at M&T Stadium in Baltimore. We will have a full preview of that and get Dave's and Mike's thoughts on the game on the next episode of the Colts Blue Zone Podcast. Thanks for joining us. I'm Matt Adams.